I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Bring you the only radio show dedicated to the decade of decadence. The 80s Overdrive.
Welcome to the 80s Overdrive here on WRHU 88.7 FM. We got a packed house in studio tonight alongside Eric Palkey and, of course, DJ Ian Scottish. Steve Pellegrino. Happily joined tonight by Tom Santoro and
Dr. Michael Schmidt.
Dr. Michael Schmidt with us in
the
studio.
We got a great show lined up tonight, I gotta say.
Absolutely.
You want to give him a little update about what's going on?
Because it's your friend who made the documentary and you kind of hooked us up with this. You want to give us a little intro?
Yeah, my friends Phil and Sean did a feature-length documentary called I Think We're Alone Now, and it is about, I want to say, extreme fans of the pop sensation Tiffany from the 80s.
And it's crazy, man. I mean, I watched the trailers you sent us, and really interesting stuff. I can tell this film is going to be huge.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We actually have, tonight, we're going to have Jeff Turner on, who's basically one of the stars of the film. And we'll also have the producer, the director, and the cinematographer all on tonight to talk about it a little bit.
Right now, we'd like to play the trailer, a little teaser.
A little radio teaser for
you all at home about the movie if you haven't heard about it yet. So let's take a listen.
Well, if you think somebody like Michael Jackson or Madonna has the number one record this week, you would be way off. It's a high school junior from Norwalk, California, and her rendition of an oldie called I Think We're Alone Now. Her name is Tiffany.
Tiffany and I have known each other most of her life. And we are in love with each other, and she's a great singer.
The difference between me and a stalker is they don't truly love the individual.
Somebody who is preoccupied with consuming a lot of information about strange topics is because they're not getting enough prana or life energy. They're not getting the real juice of life.
Yeah, I do have people that follow me around.
There was a TV show showing him as a stalker. I don't know if that's true or not. Again, it's all presumption.
I thought a car and flowers would be sufficient. I don't know what the purpose of giving Tiffany a weapon would be.
Former pop sensation Tiffany Darwish, actually have her last name here, has been followed by one stalker for 11 years. As a 16-year-old, she was forced to get a restraining order against Jeff Dean Turner. They have my whole name in there.
It's like seeing a celebrity, you know. It's Jeff.
It's part of him being semi-autistic, really.
It's Tiffany with I Think We're Alone Now.
Yeah, my destiny is I'm supposed to be with Tiffany. I'm not kidding you. I'm not making any of this up. I mean, if I am, put shackles on me, take me to jail.
Wow, and for those who are hearing that for the first time, you might think it's a mockumentary or something. This is a real documentary.
Absolutely serious.
This is some serious stuff right here.
And I mean, it's definitely not to make fun of these people. It's definitely to kind of show their side of the story, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Because by listening to this, you know these people are seriously in love with Tiffany, like wholeheartedly. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And for those just tuning in, the guy that we said has a restraining order in that little clip, we're going to have him on.
Yeah, Jeff Dean Turner. Mm-hmm.
So I guess I we were doing a little research before we got on the show, and I looked up, you know, Jeff Turner and Tiffany on Google. And there's apparently, you know, a bunch of Tiffany websites where the fans know who Jeff Turner is. They know him as an obsessed fan. And, you know, I came across this little message board post that I figured I'd read. It's pretty interesting. So I'll read the whole thing. I think it's interesting enough. Very good website. I remember Tiffany from the 80s, but at the time I was into a more cutting-edge hair rock sound as I am now. I became more familiar with Tiffany from meeting her obsessed fan, Jeff Turner of Santa Cruz. I met Jeff in the Santa Cruz Library, where he is a regular. Anyway, I struck up a friendship with Jeff, and after several months, he told me his story of his dealings with the pop star and showed me his scrapbook of news clippings about her career and the stalking incidents. It was my first experience with such an avid fan. I was thinking of going to Santa Cruz and visiting Jeff, and I began to remember his stories about Tiffany, so I hit the search engine to see what was out there, and I was impressed with all the material, especially the stuff about old Jeff. Like Andy Warhol said, everyone gets 15 minutes of fame. Personally, I don't understand how anyone could be so obsessed with a public figure. I guess it is an attempt to fill a void in one's life. Other than his Tiffany obsession, Jeff's an okay guy otherwise. There's little to indicate this when you know him, and he has this aspect to his personality until the subject comes up. Anyway, it was good to learn about Tiffany and see what's going on these days. If you ever want to update the file on her obsessed fan, Jeff Turner, you can always hit him up at the Santa Cruz Public Library, standing at the front door at opening time, waiting to make a beeline for the newspapers to catch the latest happenings for conversation pieces to share with his friends and acquaintances in downtown Santa Cruz. I don't know if he's online. If the library is, he is. Once again, good site. And that's from a guy, Mark Costner, in Las Vegas. So I guess that just shows what kind of guy Jeff Turner is and how he's a little bit more normal, I guess, until the subject Tiffany arises.
Well, we're going to hear from Jeff Turner in just a few minutes here on the 80s Overdrive. He's going to be calling in to speak with us about the movie. And we're also going to be hearing from the director and the cinematographer and even the producer of the movie to get some insight about it. Right now, we're going to actually get back into the music. But as we said, this interview is coming up in about 10 minutes. So stick with us here.
I'm psyched.
We're really excited. Hopefully you are at home, too. But right now, back to the music. Eric, what do we have coming up next?
We got a crazy little thing called Love by a Queen.
Sounds great. Let's hit it.
All right. 88.7 FM, the 80s Overdrive.
We are on air now with Jeff Turner and Sean Donnelly of I Think We're Alone Now. Are you there, guys?
Yep. Yep. Thanks for having us.
No problem. All right. Now, Sean, you directed the movie, correct?
True.
And Jeff, you are one of the stars of the movie, correct?
Yeah, the documentary is about Tiffany Renee Darweesh and myself, Jeff Turner.
All right, yeah. So
people in our lives.
All right, we're gonna start off by asking, I guess, how did this come about? Sean, did you contact Jeff?
We actually just met Jeff on the street. Jeff, do you want to tell that story? Yeah, and year 2002, I was walking down Pacific Avenue, and Jordy Girardi Cohn and Sean Patrick Donnelly came up to me and said, would you like to do a little screen test for a half-hour dramedy we're doing? And then they did a screen test. I acted a couple of parts, and then they called me back, and we did the movie, a half-hour dramedy, and about this, I was playing this person, and someone played my wife, and hijinks and mayhem ensued.
That's true, and that is a possible bonus feature on the documentary. So
excellent.
Yeah, obviously you could totally attach different. That to the 70 or 80, 90-minute documentary. You could attach that to it easily.
All right. So how did the Tiffany documentary come about? When did they approach you about that? Did you previously let them know?
We started talking. They came over, and we just started talking about, made friends. And as I made friends with Jordy and Sean, they started talking about our lives, and they were interested in just doing a documentary on my life because it seemed interesting to them. I'm not making any claims, but they found it interesting, and so Tiffany, being a significant part of that, they took the ball and ran with it.
As for, I guess, your interest in Tiffany, how far back does that go?
Oh, I knew her as a child back when she was like 18 months, 2 years old, and I knew her parents and some of her grandparents and her extended family way back many years ago back at that time.
Is she from Santa Cruz as well?
No, she is from Southern California.
Ah, all right.
Jeff, Steve Pellegrino from the 80s Overdrive, thanks for coming on with us this evening. My question is, how did you feel about being part of this project? Were you hesitant at all? Have you ever acted on camera before? Were you a little worried about people seeing the intimate side of you maybe in this film?
No, didn't have anything to hide.
So no hesitations at all? You, once they approached you with the project idea, you were all for it?
I was all for it.
Did you get along with the other Tiffany fans that appeared in the documentary?
Pretty much all of them, except at first. There was a time when Kelly was tired, and she was afterwards after a concert at the Crave in Las Vegas in 2005. In early May or something in 2005, got a little testy, but the person, Kelly, was very tired. And otherwise, the only other fan, this might be on the film, or they might have some film with this, I don't know if I made the documentary, there was this other person, this young lady, that I didn't get along with too well.
Really?
Now, you said... When you referred to Kelly, you said he, she, but I don't think everyone out there knows exactly what the situation is. Maybe you could elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay, yeah. The person is one of the people who's a genuine hermaphrodite, the fully functioning organs of both genders.
Oh, wow.
And she is the other star of the documentary, correct?
No, actually, I consider Tiffany the other star of the documentary.
Ah, okay.
And so the documentary is officially about Tiffany and myself.
Okay, and so you'd consider yourself the biggest Tiffany fan, like Kelly would be maybe second to you?
No, I'm not the, I don't consider myself the biggest. I don't like the word fan. It comes from the word fanatic, and I don't use it.
Okay.
And I just consider myself a very close friend of, very loyal close friend of Tiffany's.
Okay, and you and Tiffany still have a good relationship today?
We always have a good relationship. I just was with her. We took pictures at a concert in Upland, California.
All right, now, to date, how many Tiffany concerts have you attended?
Too many to count, really. Back in 88, 89, and then from 2001 up through now, continuing.
Wow.
So it's been a lot of concerts and other appearances.
So you've been there supporting her for her comeback, correct?
Oh, yeah. All right. I went to the concert when she tried to have a comeback back in 93 at the Las Vegas Hilton in April into May. I was there for the 2 hours concerts, two concerts of 2 hours each. That was opening night, and I was there for them. We talked in the afternoon before.
So right now, I guess what I'm going to do, if it's okay with you, I'm going to let Steve Pellegrino take it away. He's got a little mini Tiffany quiz for you, if that's okay.
Yeah, because you were okay. Naming so many facts off the top of your head, and we have a bunch of stuff here.
So, So Jeff, these might be some easy questions for you. When was Tiffany born?
October 2nd, 1971 in Norwalk, California.
That is correct. Actually, you answered my second question right there. What were her parents' names?
Her father was Jim Darwish, and her mother was Janice Christian Wilson.
That is correct. Here's an interesting question. In 1981, Tiffany made her professional singing career, and during her performance, she passed around a hat and collected money. Do you know how much money was collected that night?
I don't know exactly, but that was at the Grange Hall in Norwalk, California. And I think that was back when she was 9 years old. She stood up on the back of a truck, and her stepfather said, "Here's the rent money. I'm putting it with you. And if she makes enough money to cover that, you can give that back to me."
Wow.
That was her stepfather. So that was when she was 9 years old at the Grange Hall in Norwalk, California.
I think that makes up for not knowing the exact amount, definitely.
There's definitely enough facts there.
It was $235, but that's a really great story right there. I mean, that's really interesting. I didn't.
In 1981 and 82, I've seen some things where she was on country music television, and she was singing some songs. And I remember that.
My next question.
Might have been there for, I think I was there for one or two of those shows.
My next question is, in 1982, who first managed Tiffany?
That would be George Tobin.
That is correct.
And Schmidt. Schmidt and Tobin.
Wow, Schmidt and Tobin. That's my last name.
Here's an interesting one that I thought was interesting. In 1985, Tiffany appeared on a big show that was going on in the 80s that a lot of up-and-coming stars in the 90s performed on. Do you know what show that was?
Yeah, Star Search with Ed McMahon. She came in second.
Absolutely, yeah, that's absolutely correct.
And she wore a top hat, black top hat, and tails. And I remember that.
Wow.
Wow. Do you have a photographic memory of sorts?
The guy that did an article on me in an interview for about a 5-page article in Steam Shovel Press, Adam Gorightly, the last issue of Steam Shovel Press that came out in November or so, November year 2005, he said I had an eidetic memory, but I'm not claiming that.
On the website, actually, it talks about how you have Asperger's syndrome, and I'm just wondering, is that connected with it? Because I know people with that syndrome do have high intelligence and certain you know, memory functions.
Yeah,
that
selective areas, yeah, that does do that, yes.
So you think that's what makes your memory is?
There's several celebrities that aren't that known but have Asperger's syndrome.
Yeah,
has it.
I don't personally know anybody, but that actually, there are a few musicians who have it. I know one of the members of Cannibal Ox, underground hip-hop group, has it. What's it like living with that?
It's hard to describe. It's just, there's books and articles on it. There's one book out called My Life with Asperger's. Forget the guy's name, but he wrote about it, and there's... The LA Times had an article about it a while back, and Parade magazine a few years before had an article on it. And there's been other books out on it. And Tiffany has Asperger's syndrome, whether she admitted or not, and actress Sean Young has it. And actress Alyssa Milano has Asperger's syndrome.
We're speaking with Jeff Turner on the 80s Overdrive. Of course, he's featured in the documentary coming out about Tiffany. Jeff, some more questions about Tiffany's career. In 1987, when she released her first album, she promoted her album release in a really unique way. Do you know what that was?
She actually went on the school spirit tour, the 86-87 school year, toured high schools, and then in the summer of 87, she started like in May and June, toured large shopping malls, and didn't get too much of an audience, but it built up later, and talked to a lot of people who were on that. I actually didn't get to any of those that I remember, but I remember it very well, and it got a lot of press in August and September 87. It started getting in the major newspapers and on TV, the mall tour.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to shift the conversation now a little bit. I have a question for you about radionics technology and time travel in the music industry. What do you know about that?
There is a really nice book on that subject that pretty much covers everything called The Music of Time by Peter Moon. And excellent book, Sky Books. He owns and publishes books. He owns Sky Books, so he publishes self-publisher. And radionics was machines built from a discovery made by Nikola Tesla. Among other things, the brain is a natural transceiver, sends and transmits from one brain to another, and collectively. And some people are very skilled at this, and Tesla built machines to amplify this. And Nikola Tesla also applied the unified field principle to develop time travel, and he built machines for it in the 1890s and achieved time travel. And there are several people you can who have information to help you to home build your own time machine. The federal government's letting people do that for the last several years now, but they watch you.
So you personally have experienced this?
I have traveled and remember alternate timelines quite clearly. Tiffany is a part of this and aware of this as well.
And what
experienced things as well. Dean Stockwell, who wrote the song After the Gold Rush, performed by Neil Young, that song describes something Tiffany did, several things Tiffany did time traveling or when she was moved around through time.
This is the same Dean Stockwell from Quantum Leap?
Yeah, the same Dean Stockwell, yeah.
Okay.
He wrote the song After the Gold Rush that Neil Young and the group Prelude performed many years ago. Neil Young, back in 74, he came out with it. Prelude, even earlier than that.
And to what times do you know that you've traveled to?
I've traveled to alternate timeline where Joseph McCarthy got elected president in 1952, and the 50s never ended. Then, of course, the Kronos project, which was the federal government's time travel project, existed then, and they were able to go back from way in the future and restore the correct timeline on that, because after Joseph McCarthy served two terms, Nixon got elected, and it was it was awful. And then there's another timeline where Kent State started a civil war. The Kent State shooting started a civil war that killed 2 or 3 million people in the United States and spread to other countries, and that was stopped. And there was other things. It was a, that Tiffany was a part of that song after the gold rush. It would take too long to describe here, but she was really used to do something great to restore things, and she got moved around. But it was like the new kid just got hired, and they said, oh, give this assignment to the new kid. And they wow. did, and she performed excellently. Now she's the director.
I actually just wanted
Kronos
to shift
project.
I wanted to shift this to Sean for 1 second, just because, I mean, Jeff has so much information about stuff beyond Tiffany. Sean, like, what was, you know, what positive experience did you get out of making this, and what new things did you learn from making this documentary?
I learned a lot of the stuff you guys are learning right now.
Exactly. I really can't wait to see I Think We're Alone Now, and everybody has to check it out. ithinkwerealonenow.com.
That's correct.
And it's premiering in Park City, Utah, in the end of January, like January 20th. And Jeff is going to be there.
January 20th and 23rd at Slam Dance in Park City, Utah, and then it's going to be at the Austin Film Festival.
That's
awesome.
You're
going to be there, right, Jeff?
I hope to be. I'm not sure. Can't guarantee that. You have a friend at Tribeca. You're going to get it at Tribeca this year, I hope.
I hope he does, yeah.
Yeah, you have a friend on the board at Tribeca. That's a good connection.
He's not on the board. But yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot about like all these little things, like Tiffany, for one. Like, I knew half the answers on your Tiffany quiz just from working on this movie and hanging out with Jeff.
Wow.
You want to?
Were you personally a Tiffany fan at all before you started this?
No, actually, when Jeff was like, "You know who Tiffany is?" I was like, "No." Well, obviously, once
he said, like, Jordy didn't even know who she was.
I did once you said, like, "I think we're alone now," but you know, think I was like a little bit too young to be around when she was like in her prime. Maybe my older sister liked her a little bit, but mostly, I mean, the movie isn't really about Tiffany; it's more about Jeff. And you know, it's not like we're going through her whole career and talking about everything about her. And I think that at some point, like, Tiffany was, I know I heard her say that she was worried that the movie was, like, making fun of her fans, which it really isn't. And I think it's not really even about her, and it's more about...
When I talked to Tiffany, she was fine with the documentary, because she knew she was in what's called the Ariel footage, and where she was recorded, her and I were recorded talking with each other, which should all be back in there. She was fine with that.
But from seeing, you know, just clips from the documentary and seeing the trailer, it seems like it seems kind of like everybody that's interviewed is full of facts about her and really knows her whole career down to a formula. Would you say at a Tiffany concert, is the average fan just the average fan at any other concert, or are her fans more, you know, in touch with her music? You know where I'm going here?
Yeah, the long-term fans... really know her like I do. I run into like 2 or 3 really long-time fans at the different concerts, and we talk about really the deep things of Tiffany, the serious things behind the scenes, and they know the scene, and they've been with her, they know it. The hardcore long-term ones that have been with her through the whole time, they know her really well. The fans that have come along later, they don't know too much. They like her, but they're rather ignorant about her.
Yeah, I mean, Tiffany's had a lot of albums in the last couple of years, a lot of, like, techno albums and stuff, and there's, like...
She has only 7 albums out. Totally.
But there's, like, a lot of people who don't know that those albums are even coming out. But there's a group of Tiffany fans, they have, a Yahoo fan group, and they're always, like, sending messages and digests out.
It's the Always True to Tiffany website.
Exactly.
Run by Christine Hattieman and some other people, and that's always has the up-to-date information.
And, you know, there's a lot... She does have a lot of, like, really serious fans. I know, like, at the Boardwalk show I went to, there was a family there had flown in from England just for the free concert at the beach. And, like, when I saw her in New York, she said somebody had flown in just from Switzerland to see her there.
Wow.
So, there's, like, you know, there are a lot of people out there. I think one guy described it well in the movie, this guy John Candlin, who's a big Tiffany fan, and he said that he listened to Tiffany a lot when he was a teenager, like, alone in his room when he was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And so now that he's, you know... older and has like a real job in LA or whatever, he's like still drawn. Obviously, you're still always listening to the music you listened to as a teenager, and that never really goes away. So that's what he said too, that it's something about his teens that he never wants to, you know.
Yeah, Tiffany, anyone that really likes her, that really gets in contact with her and her life or her music, or knows her, Tiffany leaves a great impression and impact that is usually positive, almost always positive, and never goes away. It just keeps growing stronger.
But then the other half of the fans that you see at the boardwalk are people who are more like, hey, look, it's the 80s. I remember Tiffany. I think we're alone now. And they like wear a silly hat.
That seems to happen with a lot of 80s artists. I'm a fan of like Vanilla Ice's new stuff, and a lot of it is college kids who just want to see Ice Ice Baby, but he kind of does hardcore hip-hop mixture now. Anyway, Steve wanted to get into something?
Yeah, actually, we're running a little short on time. So, Jeff, we just want to thank you for coming on and giving us your insight about Tiffany and the film. We really do appreciate it.
And Sean, definitely great hearing from you.
Sean's actually going to stay on the line in this next segment that we're going to have, cool. As well as Jordy Cohen, who's the producer of the film.
Nice.
And,
nice.
Phil Buccellato.
Buccellato.
Sorry, Phil.
Buccellato.
He's the cinematographer.
His name is Jordy Girardi Cohen. He's Sicilian and Jewish.
Very interesting. And quick question for you. What for Jeff? What I'm sorry. How does the question go? It's about Tiffany. Her background. Yeah. What descent is Tiffany?
She is Lebanese on her father's side. Father's born from Lebanon. And on her mother's side is German Okie and some Cherokee Indian, but mostly German Okie.
Wow, very interesting.
That is very interesting. Jeff, once again, thanks for your insight. Thanks for joining us this evening.
And check Jeff out in the documentary.
Bye-bye.
And if you're just joining us now here on the 80s Overdrive, we're talking about the new Tiffany documentary coming out. And actually, we're going to play some Tiffany right now. Here's I Think We're Alone Now here on the 80s Overdrive, 88.7 FM WRHU. Welcome back to the show, 88.7 FM WRHU. This is the 80s Overdrive. Been spending most of the night talking about the new Tiffany documentary coming out. And right now, via the phone line, we have the director, Sean Donnelly, on with us, as well as the producer, Jordy Cohen, joining us on the phone. Gentlemen, how are you this evening?
Great.
Really well. Thank you. Thanks for having us on the show.
No problem.
It goes with the show. We are an 80s show. We discuss all avenues of the 80s, and Tiffany is a huge staple in the 80s.
Yeah. We should just make it somewhat clear to everyone that the movie is not like a Tiffany documentary. It's not about Tiffany.
Right.
It's about these two people who are very in love with Tiffany, and it's more about them. It's just that, you know, Jeff and Kelly aren't really famous.
So not according to Jeff, though, because we just had him on, and he was like, no, the stars are me and Tiffany.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is Jeff is more the star than Tiffany.
Right.
All right. Well, as for how this all came about, Jeff said you had done a small project with him prior to this, and I guess you got to talking, and he described his affection for Tiffany, correct?
Yeah. Jordy, you want to tell that story?
Yeah. We encountered Jeff, I don't know how long ago. It was probably 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago.
He mentioned 2002.
And we were making kind of a fictional side project. And Jeff was in the movie, and as we got to know Jeff, it became, you know, more and more clear that he was really enamored of Tiffany, and that he was an eclectic and interesting personality. And over time, this project just developed, and we've been following him ever since.
I was going to say, when you guys first met Jeff, what did you think of him? Were you kind of freaked out by him at all because he knew so much about Tiffany? Or were you guys like now really intrigued? As we see now, you made a documentary about him.
To be honest, like Jeff drops Tiffany hints like all the time, and I don't think I paid attention to them really for a while. And then it wasn't until we went to his house and saw a bunch of Tiffany stuff that we actually like paid attention. Because he'll be like, "My friend Tiffany in L.A." And we're just like, "Okay, Jeff, now we're gonna go over here," you know.
So you went to his apartment. What was that like?
Jo- Jordy actually went to his apartment first, and Jordy was like, you got to see his apartment.
It was just covered in Tiffany stuff?
No, I mean, they're not, like, on the walls or anything. He has, like, a lot of boxes with a lot of article clippings and records and T-shirts and everything in them.
And he does claim to telepathically communicate with Tiffany, correct?
With those machines, yeah, the radionic, psionic, psychotronics that you were talking about.
All right,
yeah. Sure. I mean, he talks about, when we asked him, when did you start to know Tiffany, and he claimed it was, like, in the first few months of her life. I mean, I'm just wondering, in your experience, do you believe this to be true, or do you think he knew her, or, you know, knew her music after her career, you know, in your opinion?
I've heard Jeff say, like, a lot of different stories of times he met Tiffany when she was younger, and honestly, I don't know what to make of it, and I think it's up to you or anybody else to decide. I'm not going to, like, weigh in and say, but I know that one time he says she was young and swimming, and he jumped in and saved her from, like, drowning when she was younger, and another time she was, like, 2 years old and paid the bill at a Mexican restaurant that he worked at, she, like, help give him the money by the cash register.
To me, that seems really weird because he has such a photographic memory of dates and stuff, and it seems weird that he would change his story of how he met her.
Those are changing. Those are at different points in her life. I'm just saying there's various stories that he tells. I think that he wouldn't change it. He'd stick to all those stories.
Hmm.
But, you know, Jordy?
Yeah. You know, he seems to pretty much stick to his story.
So
I think, like we said earlier, like the point of the movie, Jeff makes a lot of claims and tells a lot of stories, and there's no way to corroborate them or dismiss them one way or the other. And I don't know, I think certain stories I personally believe more than others, but in the movie we try to present them as much as Jeff says them, and it's up to people to decide, because there's really no way to back up a lot of those things.
I don't think the point of the movie is proving or disproving Jeff's claims anyway.
All right, well, to shift the conversation slightly, because we have been talking a lot about Jeff. Now, another portion of the movie is about Kelly McCormick, I believe her name is, correct?
Yeah.
All right, now, her story is, I guess, vastly different than Jeff's, if I'm not mistaken. Do you want to explain a little bit about what her story is?
Yeah, her story is that she lived in Southern California, and she was a big Tiffany fan, and she met her actually at the mall one day, she says. And same thing, did that happen? I have no idea. But I like to be on the side of Jeff and Kelly and trust them for the most part. But she says that she spent the day shopping with Tiffany, and then they talked on the phone afterwards for a long time, and they were, like, good friends. And then she lost her number and moved and didn't talk to Tiffany until now. And she hadn't been to a Tiffany concert ever. She just met her at the mall that one time. And so when we went to Las Vegas with Kelly, that was her first Tiffany concert ever.
So who discovered Kelly?
It was actually one of those fans that Jeff was talking about who runs the Tiffany fan group.
Okay, so...
excuse me. She referred us to her. She was like, you guys, do you know about this other person, Kelly, who's really a big Tiffany fan? And we were like, no. And so she put us in touch, and I was talking to her. And she seemed really interesting, and she said that she wanted to be a part of the movie. So Phil actually flew out there and was the first to meet her and stayed at her apartment for a couple of days.
It actually seems really crazy. I mean, when, you know, as I was researching before we did this interview, it seems like the Tiffany websites, the Tiffany fans do know these infamous characters who are just shown all the time on the websites and the concerts. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Sure, I think they've had, like, you know, a prolonged internet relationship, like any internet users. I mean, we're in the same kind of chat group or post on a certain page. I mean, you develop a relationship with these people.
And Kelly was actually banned from that page, and she was really upset about it because they thought she kept emailing them and trying to send letters to give to Tiffany and, like, poems that she was sending, and Christine, who is one of the moderators, took her off the list. So, and Jeff doesn't have a computer, so neither of them are actually a member of that group anymore.
So, guys, take us through the process of making this film. What was difficult about it? What did you guys enjoy about it? Did it turn out from point A to point B how you expected it was going to?
Jordy? I just feel like I've been talking a lot.
I think the process of it making a documentary is really interesting, and I think that, you know, we could have made several different films from the material we had, you know? And I really like the way the film turned out.
Yeah. From the clips I've seen, I mean, a first impression, you may think it's a parody or something, or, you know, poking fun at them, which is absolutely not. From the clips I've seen, you actually begin to, you know, empathize and, you know, feel for these people that you're watching on the screen. They absolutely 100% are in love with Tiffany. They normalize it for you almost, you know? They show you their side of the story, which is absolutely fantastic.
I think that was, like, one of the most compelling things about working with Jeff and Kelly is that they are definitely sincere in their love of Tiffany. There's no question. And that's always been the kind of the guiding light for me personally.
It's completely...
Whether or not you believe what Jeff is saying, it's clear that he believes it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Jeff, you can tell he's a very positive person. He's he goes to church every day or twice a week, and he's a very positive member of that community. And like at the soup kitchen, everywhere he goes, like you never see Jeff just like swearing and upset or really. Like, he doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs, and so he, you know, in many ways, he's like he could be somebody to look up to.
So besides Tiffany fans and you know, people who go to your shows. Because as you said, this isn't a movie about Tiffany. It's a movie about Jeff and Kelly. Who would you say you're setting out to be the demographic for this movie? Who do you think this really appeals to that's going to go out to the film festival?
Well, I think it appeals to everybody. I think that the kind of human themes that Jeff and Kelly deal with are universal themes that everybody can understand and relate to.
Yeah, definitely.
Of desire and love for somebody. Everybody has that in their life.
Exactly.
Jeff and Kelly are extreme characters, but I think people are interested in extremes, in extreme examples of every kind of emotion or situation.
Yeah,
this is not a movie that just appeals to people who are like into the 80s throwback stuff.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's not about cultural references or anything. It's about real people and their loves and their lives.
That definitely makes sense to me, because even though this is the 80s overdrive and we're all fans of 80s music, I could say, for the most part, none of us here are necessarily Tiffany fans, but right when we saw this documentary, the trailer, it appealed to all of us, and I think all of us, I could speak for everybody, and we said, wow, like, I cannot wait to go out and see this film.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, thanks, guys.
So where can fans of the show find out more about this movie? When's it coming to theaters? Is there a website they can go to learn more about the movie?
Well, currently we don't have a distributor or anything, and maybe that will happen. Let's hope for the best. Everyone can cross their fingers and say their prayers tonight. But in the meantime, we'll be keeping everyone posted on our newsletter. So if you want to know more information, go to ithinkwerealonenow.com with no apostrophe, just I think we are, WERE. alonenow.com, and then there's a button that says sign up for updates, and we have like a newsletter going, and we'll say like we're playing here, we're playing at this theater, and so if it ever does come to DVD or play in more places, that's the first place to find out about it.
Yeah, and I would
also, there's a trailer on YouTube.
Also we have a MySpace account, so if you are friends with us on MySpace, we'll also send out those types of media blasts.
I just friended them in MySpace.
There you go.
I was just about to say, it's definitely worth going out and checking out the trailer on YouTube, because the radio trailer is great, but it doesn't do it justice. You have to see this video. It's intense. I mean, it's definitely one of a kind. I've never heard of anything of the sort, and I cannot wait to see it in its entirety.
Well, thanks, Mike. Are you going to come to Slam Dance and check it out?
I think I'm going to come to South by Southwest if I get the chance. But
I'd like to go, man. I'm dying to see this.
All right.
we'll both find a way down there, hitchhike or something. But
it was interesting. We had a screening last night and just Jordy's house, but Doug, who is one of Jeff's good friends and featured in the movie, saw it for the very first time, and it was interesting to see him react to the movie. And Jeff hasn't seen the movie yet, and so it was a good preview to see how Jeff might react once he actually sees it all edited together in one package.
You think it's possible he might not like it, or what do you think?
I mean, that's always possible, but I think, like we said with Jeff, it's very true to Jeff. Like, we're not editing it and, like, twisting scenes to make him look, like, crazy or completely different. Everything in the movie is, like, a story that he's told us probably 15 times, so it's not like he'll be like, I never said that, you know?
Well, Sean, Jordy, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and it was a pleasure having you guys, and... For all the listeners, anybody who just tuned in or just catching the later end of this, it's, ithinkwerealonenow.com. And pleasure to have you guys here on the 80s Overdrive on WRHU.
Thanks a lot, Sean. Thanks a lot, Jordy.
To be here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
No problem. You take care.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye.
cool. Well, we're all looking forward to the movie, I guess, man. I'm psyched to see it.
It seems like a really, really interesting movie. Definitely watch the trailers. We played the radio trailer a little bit earlier, but definitely check out the website. It looks like something I'd never seen before. So
yeah, I mean, I had a slight idea about, like, you know, like, I watched the trailer. I'd seen a couple clips. I thought I knew what we were gonna say to Jeff, but I mean, he blew me away. I had no
idea. That was something else. I don't think any of us expected
a throwback to the McCarthy.
Throwback to McCarthy.
He's a character, and I would love for him to call back and talk more.
He just
about
seems
it.
Like a genuine, interesting person to talk to.
Exactly.
In life, so that was definitely an experience for all of us here.
It was amazing.
Tom Santoro
Tom speaks.
Puts his two cents.
Just.